Hey, hey, hey!
Good morning, everyone. We're starting today a new series, a two-part series called The Day Death Died. If you can have that slide up. Yes, The Day Death Died. I'm starting it today. And on Sunday, Pastor Richard will finish it off on Easter Sunday. Before we go on the message, I would just like to introduce myself again. I'm Josh. This is my family. This is my family. That's my son, Liam. He's right there. He's turning 4 years old in May. And that's my wife, Catherine. We've been married since 2018, and she's been in love with me since 2012. I think that's true. And together, we have the honor of leading our Every Nation Youth Ministry with Jez, with Shandy, with Ash, and Lawrence. We have the youth here. So every Friday, it's a highlight for us. No cap, it's a highlight for us. So we have fun activities. We talk about the word. So if any of you have a heart for the next generation, shameless plug. While I have the opportunity, let us know if you want to be part of what we're doing with the youth and the next generation. Another thing about me is I enjoy learning about history. I don't remember a lot of what I learned, but I love learning about it. What I like about it, what's intriguing for me, is seeing events in history and seeing how some events can be a culmination event or a turning point in that point of time. For example, I read early this year a book called Rampage. It's a book about the Battle of Manila, and it's centered around General Douglas MacArthur. Some of you may know the story. He had to flee the country because of the enemy forces. And then he went to Australia and declared the famous words, "I shall return." And the book would tell his point of view of actually trying to go back to Manila and culminating to actually him entering the city and trying to take over the city from the enemy forces. I also watched a documentary called about Alexander the Great. I don't like the title, but I enjoyed watching it. And it said there, when he took over Egypt, it was a turning point for his conquest of actually establishing his empire. So that is why I'm so privileged to speak on an event in human history that is documented in the Gospels, that is both a culmination event, but also a turning point in human history where everything changed for us. And it's found in Matthew 27, verses 45 to 54. May I invite everyone to stand up as we read the word? It says here, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani? This is my God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for gathering us all here. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and honor of sharing your word. Holy Spirit, may you direct and guide my tongue. May your words glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may all be seated. At the end of this message, my goal is for us to remember just two things. Just two things. It's one, God wants a relationship with us. And second, he made a way for us to have a relationship with him. So if you want to make it shorter, we can say God wants a relationship and He made a way. God wants a relationship, and He made a way. While I was preparing and studying and reading the passage, there were two portions of the scripture that really caught my attention. First, the first one was in verse 51, where it said, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." So, you know, the temple in the Old Testament represented the presence of God. Some would say it was where heaven and earth met. It was built by King Solomon. But before that, before the permanent structure, they had the tabernacle or the tabernacle. but today I will say tabernacle. So it was like a big tent that they would carry along in the wilderness. They would put it up to worship God. And you will see in Exodus, God will give instructions, detailed instructions, the measure, the material, what the furniture would look like. But He also gave a reason why He wanted the tabernacle to be built, the tabernacle to be built. In Exodus 25:8, He said, "Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them." So I can live among them. He wanted a relationship with His people. Let's pause for a bit. The God of the universe wanted a relationship with His creation. It's rare these days to see a CEO actually want a genuine relationship with his staff. I've met film directors, film producers who have zero desire to have a genuine relationship with their crew. And at the time, that's understandable. You're busy. You have a lot of things to do. But imagine the God of the universe who created everything, the King of everything, actually wants a relationship with us. Sometimes we forget how amazing that is. So He wanted to be with His people. He wanted a relationship with them. But why does He need the temple to do that? Why did He ask for the tabernacle? It's simply because of sin. Literally, sin means missing the mark, to fail. God has a standard. We failed to meet that standard. What's the standard? Perfection, to do all the commands, not some of the commands, not most of the commands, not a 70% passing rate. It's all of the commands. And Jesus Himself summarized the commands into two things: love God, love people. If you can't remember, there, we have a new sign right there: love God, love people. Are we loving God by following Him, honoring Him, spending time with Him? Are we loving people, even our enemies? Are we loving them with our thoughts? Are we loving the people who's been gossiping about us in our office or the annoying person in school? If our answer to any of those questions is no, I'm sorry, but we have failed. We have missed the mark. But I also love how even God's commands are based in relationship. It's based in relationship. And sadly, sin has been a problem since Genesis. Three chapters in, we messed it up. Just three chapters in the Bible, we messed it up. In the beginning, God created everything, and as He was creating, the Bible would say, He saw His creation, and it was good. And then He created man, and then He saw everything, and it says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." It was very good. And God provided everything for the man. He said, "You can eat of any tree. You just grab a fruit, eat it." He provided everything. But He gave just one command: don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you read the scripture, God told this to Adam directly. They were talking face to face. It was direct. Adam was in the presence of God 24/7. God can talk. Man can just, you know, "Hey God, how are you? It's a good day." But as the story goes, Eve, who was already there at the time, was tempted by the serpent. She got the fruit, ate the fruit, gave it to Adam, who, by the way, who received the command, he also ate it, and they sinned. And suddenly, from having direct access to God, they were suddenly relationally separated from God. Imagine having the God of the universe 24/7, you're in His presence, and then suddenly, we were separated. Adam was the first human, the head of humanity, our representative, and he sinned. And our hearts started to change. Man and woman's hearts started to change. We got corrupted. We wanted to be separate from God. We turned away from God. But God's heart didn't change. He still wanted a relationship with us. So in history, in Genesis, you will see God initiating relationship from sinful people full of faults, flawed people. He would initiate relationship from Abraham, from Isaac, from Jacob. And then until he asked the Israelites to create the tabernacle. You can see God wanted a relationship with His people, and He made a way to dwell among them. God wants a relationship, and He made a way. But there was another problem. God is holy. God is pure. God is just. That's His character. That's who He is. And sin can't mix, can't go along with God's holiness. And us as sinful people and sin, we deservedly are supposed to have death and punishment. That brings us to the curtain. So the curtain in the temple separated the Holy of Holies from the less holy places. And once a year, the high priest would be able to enter this curtain during the Day of Atonement. But before that, he'd have to do all of these things. He would have to wear the right clothes, wear them the right way, in the right order. He would have to cleanse himself. Being a high priest at that time was a risky job. If you enter and you didn't cleanse yourself, you would die immediately. So after doing all these rituals, he would take an animal, he would sacrifice it, and pour the blood, which will cover the sin of the people. If you want a more detailed image of that, Pastor Weong preached on that a few weeks ago. So it would cover the blood. So God made a way for people to have a relationship with Him. But the problem, it only covered the blood. It's still there. It covered the sin. It's still there. It had an expiration date, like our WAF. Every year, they had to do it over and over and over again. It wasn't the perfect solution. It wasn't the ultimate solution. But God is so good that He actually provided the solution for us. So it says in Hebrews 9:22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. That is how heavy and serious sin is. Something or someone actually had to die because of sin. It's not a light matter. It's not a light issue. Sin is serious. It needs the shedding of blood for forgiveness. But also in John chapter 1:29, John the Baptist declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus didn't only cover the sin, He took it away. And who here knows, if you take away something, if I take away this table right here, it has to go somewhere else. It doesn't just vanish. It doesn't just disappear. It will go somewhere else. In 1 John 2:2, it declares, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our for not not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I just want to focus on that word propitiation. I love this word. I heard it more than a decade ago from my own youth pastor. Propitiation simply means satisfaction. Jesus was satisfying something. You see, because God is holy, because He is just, because He is pure, He has to punish sin. He has to punish sin. Just like if a judge finds someone guilty, he has to give the appropriate punishment. But because He is also love, because He is full of grace, He provided a substitute. And His name is Jesus. Jesus willingly allowed Himself to be hung on that cross to die, to take away our sins, and take it upon Himself, so that He would be the one to receive the wrath, punishment, and justice for our sin, our offense, our transgressions instead of us. In his book, Knowing God, J.I. Packer said, God propitiates His wrath by His own action. He set forth Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. God sent Jesus to satisfy the requirements of His own righteousness and holiness so that we could be reconciled to Him. We were the one in debt. We were the one with the offense. But God said, it's okay, I got this. I got you, bro. I got this. And through the sacrifice that was Jesus, through His blood that was poured, we can be forgiven for our sins. Sin is available. Forgiveness is available for us. In Matthew 26, 28, during the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup and said, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and His people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. God wants a relationship with us, and He made the way. He made the way. So the curtain was torn from top to bottom. He removed what was dividing us from Him. We didn't need the curtain anymore. And in Hebrews, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can enter into His presence with confidence because of what Jesus has done for us. Earlier, I mentioned that there was two things that really caught my attention while I was preparing. The first one was in verse 51, which was, behold, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. The second one is from verse 54. It says, when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. The only reason why this was all possible, why this all matters, why He could take our sin away, because He is the Son of God. He is God. In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was clearly talking about Jesus. So God Himself went down, seeing our sinfulness and our situation, He went down so that He could save us and have a relationship with us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God wants a relationship with us, and He made the way. I'm going to end in a bit, but before I end, I would like to share a story of my friend. Her name is Gia. That's her. During my wedding. So that was in 2018. And her boyfriend at the time, his name is Red, posted something about Gia. He said, Gia was someone who knew what it's like to be kilig with God. What's kilig? It's a Tagalog word. Imagine if your crush or someone you love suddenly messaged you or talked to you, and that's feeling of excitement and being giddy and happy. If you still don't get it, wait later when I talk to Kat. That's kilig. So G was someone who knew what it's like to be kilig with God, to laugh with God, to understand His humor, to see His mindfulness and thoughtfulness even in the smallest things. It was evident to me, it was evident to our friends, it was evident to Kat and everyone around Gia that she had a genuine relationship with God. But what most people didn't know about Gia, that she was suffering from a disease called lupus. For the longest time, it was manageable. She was taking her meds. But in late 2018, it started to flare up. It attacked her kidney. So lupus is, from what I understand, is a disease that attacks your own body. So her kidney was being affected. She was getting water retention, and eventually she had to go to the hospital. And sadly, Gia passed away in early 2019 in the hospital. But before her final breath, a few days before that, she actually posted one last time on Instagram. This was her last post. It was her in the hospital. She said, "Pain wakes me in the morning, accompanies me through my day, and sends me to sleep at night. But even as pain holds tight, I can feel God's embrace even tighter. Sustaining every second of my struggled breath, my body has no choice but to lay still, having nothing but to ponder on God. I'm coming to realize in its true sense that I need His love more than the very air I breathe. It's better than life itself. As much as I want to honor Gia's memory and her faith today, I want to focus in on the reason for her faith. How can someone in so much pain and suffering, literally on her deathbed, declare that all she needed was God's love? It was better than life itself. It was because she knew who God was. She spent time with God. Even her last days, she was spending time with God. She was thinking of other people who needs to know God. She was secure. She was filled with love and joy. And that is the relationship that God is inviting us into. A relationship with joy, even in pain and suffering, even in sickness, even in financial troubles, even relational problems. God is inviting us to a relationship filled with joy, filled with love, filled with security. So if you're hearing this for the first time or don't have a relationship with God, I want to let you know that God wants relationship with you. And He made a way through Jesus so that you can have a relationship with Him. We don't have to do all the rituals. We just need to put our faith in Him. Turn away from sin, repent of our sins, and go to God. It's available for all of us. But for those who have heard this before, that's including me and a lot of us, if you have heard this before, even multiple times, many times, I ask you to do two things. One, ask yourself the question, how's my relationship with God? I'm not asking if you go to church or if you read your Bible, how many chapters you read, all of those are good things. But how's your relationship with God? And secondly, let others know about this message, the gospel, what we call the good news. There are people out there who need to hear this, that there's a God who wants a relationship with them, who wants to give them that love, that joy, that security, and that there's a God who made a way for them to have a relationship with Him. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you once again for this day. I pray, Lord, that throughout this week, pray, Lord, that we may be able to reflect on our relationship with you. Do we have a relationship with you? Thank you, Lord, that you made a way for us, that forgiveness is available to us. Thank you for your love and your mercy. And I pray that we will also have the heart to let other people know that we may love them as you love them, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.